Now, Brother Mark told me when he first came here and took an appointment and then was called as pastor, you know, he used to show up a lot on the fourth Sunday, and I'd call on him to go in the beginning, and, you know, he said, you know, what goes around comes around. So, you know, I guess that's true this morning. What goes around comes around. So, I don't know that I have anything on my mind that's worth speaking of this morning. I know there's a scripture found over in the book of Proverbs that I like a lot because it stirs up my memory. It says, fitly spoken. It's like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. You that know me know I wasn't raised among the old Baptists. But since I have come among the old Baptists, I have a lot of wonderful apples of gold and pitchers of silver that are in my memory and my heart. Many of them, maybe even most of them, are right here at Little Vine. And I'm thankful for those memories that I have. I'm thankful that there was a group of people who would take some wayward folks in when we needed it and take us and love us like we'd never been loved before. And I don't have words within me to thank this church enough for what they've done for me. I don't have words within me to express what you have done for my family, except to say thank you. We will never, ever forget. 43rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, for some reason, kind of jumps out at me this morning. I don't know what I'll do anything with it or not, but it's some awful good words here if all I do is read them. So y'all pray for me, and Brother Marcus, he'll follow, and Brother Mark, if he has any recap time left, we'll pray for him as well. But the writer begins here in the 43rd chapter by saying, "But thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not." I tried to speak on that fear not. Maybe it was here, fourth Sunday. I believe it was here. And that word fear not, as I hope we established that Sunday, is not talking about being afraid of God. I don't believe that's what the word means. I know that the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. I realize that. But I believe when we're talking about fearing God, we should be thinking on and speaking of being in awe of the great power that He has. If I had to scare someone to get them to walk down the aisle and be a part of the church, I'd have to keep on scaring them to keep them coming. That's the only way I could keep them coming. Because they, you know, you get over being afraid after a little while. You know, I could stand up here and bang on this thing real hard and make an ugly face and talk about, you know, damnation and all that kind of stuff. And I might be able to scare someone into walking down the aisle and thinking, well, the only way I'm ever going to avoid all that stuff he was talking about is become a part of the church. I don't believe that's the kind of member we'd want. I don't believe that's the way we should try to entice people, if I can use that word, into becoming a part of the church. I think if someone can see the position in their that they are in, like we were so ably taught yesterday, if someone can realize from the depths of their heart the position that they're really in, that desire will well up within them. They'll have a desire not only to learn more about the beauties of the doctrine, not only to learn more about the beauties of the church, but to be a part of a little band of people who has a desire to simply come out and worship God. Our services are very simply. Our services are very simple. We sing a little while, we have a prayer, we try to preach the gospel. Our services are very simple. We don't have any orchestras or lay preachers or anything like that. We just come to the house of God and do as the Bible tells us, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Whenever I think about that spirit and truth and worshiping God, I think about a verse of a song that says, "All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down." That Spirit has come down to us this weekend. I believe I felt it. I believe most people that were in this house have felt it. And I thank God this morning for not only what my ears have heard and what my eyes have been able to bless to see, but what my heart has felt. I've appreciated each message that's come before us, and I hope this morning we'll get another one from these two good men. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. We heard a little bit about that yesterday too. I've redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. I like that last part especially. Thou art mine. We belong to Him. We belong to Jesus Christ. He came and paid a debt for us that we couldn't pay. We were in the pawn shop and had no way to get out. He's the only one that held the ticket and the price that could pay it. You know, you take I've used this example before, I think, but if you take I use a watch because that's what I deal with every day, but if you take a watch down to the pawn shop and it's worth $100, they'll probably give you $5 or $10 for it, and you get this ticket that says you come back in 30 days and you give us $30 or $40 back and you get your $10 watch back. Or the watch that we gave you $10 for. If you don't go back in that 30 days and you show up 60 days later, it'll be in their case for sale. Brethren, if Jesus Christ wouldn't have come to redeem us, if we were not His, we'd be in a case somewhere for sale. And I don't know what you think about that, but I doubt very seriously that anybody'd purchase me. Makes me think of another song. What was there in me there to esteem or bring the Creator delight? I look in the mirror and I can't see a thing that would bring the Creator any esteem. But I know when we come together as we have this morning, when we gather together in an attitude of worship to come together and worship Him the best that we can, and we do everything within our power. We may not think sometimes that's very much. I've had too many people come up to me while I've tried to be a minister among the old Baptists and say, well, there's just not a thing I can do in the house of God. And that's just not true. Maybe you can't carry a tune in the bucket. Maybe you can't lead a song. Maybe you can't pray publicly. But there's not a soul under the sound of my voice this morning that cannot pray within themselves. And you know something, brethren? God hears that prayer that you pray from within yourself, from your heart, just as strongly as He does someone that comes up here and kneels before us for 10 minutes and says a prayer that everybody wishes would be over. God hears that prayer within you just as much as He hears this prayer that we pray publicly. In fact, I'm not sure this morning that that prayer that goes up to God on a kind of privately, if I can say it that way, is not more important than us praying publicly. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. You belong to God this morning whether you want to or not. He bought you with the price. He paid the price that none other could pay. He sent His Son to die in our place, as it says over there in Romans. If God be for us, who can be against us? That doesn't mean God's our cheerleader. Doesn't mean He's saying, rah, 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 I'm on your side. That means He's for us. He's in our place. Jesus Christ represented us on the cross. It was you and I that deserved to hang there. And He represented us. He took our place on that cross. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. Now walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. If you haven't ever walked through the fire here in this life in which you live, just wait a while. You'll walk through it somewhere. But if God is... on your side. I almost said that. If you're walking in the ways of the Lord, as Brother Larry so ably taught us last night, if we'll change our lives... That was a good sermon, wasn't it? If we'll change our lives to go with this little book, it'll be amazing the things that will happen to you in your life. Not only just on Sunday morning. This is an important part. I'm not trying to diminish the worship of God one little bit. But brethren, we need Him tomorrow morning just as much as we need Him this morning. And the next morning, maybe even more so when you go out there into the world and have to behave yourself among people that don't behave themselves. Maybe it's harder on a daily basis. You know, when we come into the house of God, it's not real hard for a man to stand up behind this thing and speak to people who agree with most of what he says. That's not real difficult. But if you go in among a bunch of people that don't believe a word you say, and let you know that they don't believe a word you say, maybe they're not going to chunk anything at you. But that makes it harder, doesn't it? makes it harder to tell someone what the truth is if they don't think what you're saying is the truth. I know we're always up here claiming that the old Baptists have the truth, and I believe our doctrine is the truth. Don't misunderstand that. There's people probably meeting not more than a mile or two from here that think they have the truth as well. And maybe they do have a little portion of it. But sometimes I think I've been guilty in the past of denomination bashing. And I don't think that's what I should do when I stand before God's people. When thou passest through the waters, I will not be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt be burned, neither shall the flame kindle against thee. For I am the Lord thy God. Who are you going to follow this morning? Which way do you want to go? Do you want to go down the straight and narrow path that God speaks of in the Word of God? Or the wide and bad way, if I can put it that way? The straight and narrow path that leadeth to righteousness, or the way of the world? I'll tell you this morning, it's real easy. Which one is the easiest? It's real easy to join in with the crowd. It's real easy to follow the group that's going down the wrong path. It's real easy to get yourself tied up in the things of the world and not in the things of God. That's real easy. In fact, that's our human nature to do so. So as Brother Larry said last night again, we have to make some changes in our nature, in the way we view things, in the way we do things, before we can ever even find that straight and narrow path. Someone who has not been born again of the Spirit of God would not understand a word that was said yesterday. Wouldn't understand any of it. Wouldn't have rejoiced in it. Wouldn't have enjoyed it. Probably would have gone away mad last night. Because they heard about salvation by grace. They heard about redemption. They heard about how we should behave ourselves in this world. They heard all kinds of wonderful things yesterday, straight from the Word of God. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with reading other books to understand this one better, but this one is its own interpreter. We need to read this one first and dig in it first. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopian silver for thee, since thou wast precious in my sight. I like that scripture. Reminds me of one found over in the 116th Psalm of David that helped me when my father died. I believe it's verse 16, maybe 15. Over somewhere, we hunt it after a while if you want to. It says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Have you ever thought of yourself as being precious unto God? Have you ever looked in the mirror and said, well, that person right there is precious unto God? I doubt if you ever have. But that's what you are. That's what you are. Just bring it down to a natural level, if you can, for just a minute. You that have sons and daughters, bring it down to a natural level for just a minute. The whole world is a sinful place, full of sinners. And it's going to require the death of your son or your daughter to pay that price. Just bring it down to a natural level. Would you do it? How hard would that be? You know, I've said for years and years and years, I've never had to do this, but I've said for years and years, one of the toughest things for a mother and father to do would be to bury their own child. I can't think of anything too much harder than that in this life in which we live. And I'm not sure it wouldn't be even more difficult to give one of those up for a bunch of sinners. But that's what God did. That's exactly what God did. He sent His Son into His own, and His own received Him not. He sent His Son into a world of sinners that didn't believe what He said. Oh, there were some that did. There were some that followed. It would have been very easy. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane over there when Jesus said, if it's possible, let this cup pass. If it's possible. Some will say, well, right there in that garden, that proves to me that Jesus was peccable. He was asking God for that cup to pass. Well, that's not what it says, is it? I don't say you'd get that out of it if you stopped right there. But you sure can't get that out of it if you go a little farther, because Jesus said, but not my will, but thine be done. And I think you'll find Jesus Christ saying that an awful lot here in the world. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I love thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy ransom. Fear not, for I will be with thee. Fear not this morning, because God has promised But He'll be with us. Jesus said when He went away in the 14th chapter of John, He said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll send another comforter unto you, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And when we gather ourselves like we have this morning and sing and pray unto God and try and preach the gospel, that's exactly what we have here in the house of God. We have the Holy Ghost. I thought this morning as I stood before you, I might talk about a lot of wonderful memories I had of the church. But there's so many I would never get through. I would never get through. And I know you want to hear them preach. But think about at least the rest of the day. That we have one that redeemed us. We have one that paid the price. We have one that came in spite of what we are. In spite of the fact that we're sinners. In spite of the fact that we don't deserve salvation. In spite of the fact that there's nothing in us that could merit esteem. That loved us with a love that there's no way I can understand or explain this morning. That passeth my understanding. How one could love me so much that he'd die on the cross to save me. I was lost. Had nowhere to go but farther down. I was completely lost. Until I learned of this one who loved me to the extent that he gave his life for me, redeemed me. And I don't have anything to do with it this morning except to know about it and to understand it. Thank you for your kind attention. Come ahead and pray with us.